episodes. Good morning. Man, extra chairs going out this morning. Hope everyone found a spot and a place to be. Hey, if we have not had the chance to meet before, love you, buddy. If we haven't had the chance to meet before, my name is Nick. I'm the senior pastor here at Outlook. Just echoing everything Annabelle said, that was phenomenal. Thank you. You're so welcome this morning. We're so glad you're here. However, you're gathering with us online in person after the fact. We're loving the start to this year. This morning is a special morning for a couple of different reasons. Number one, Pastor Maddie Mandel is with us from Queensland Baptist. She preached here last year. She's fresh off state youth camp with a bunch of our team and a bunch of others. And she's going to be preaching this morning on, as you can see, going the distance in leadership. But it's also special because we are taking a moment just to recognize a number of leaders in the community here. We've called this Commissioning Sunday. We did this last year. Want to make it a bit more of a normal part of what we do. And so we're going to pray for a particular group of leaders in the church community this morning. And then next week, we're going to be praying for their wider teams and everybody else represented across all of these teams and these people as part of Partnership Sunday. And so I'm going to invite up our board first. We have Kathy, Warwick, and Paul. These guys are serving in a complete volunteer capacity. Were voted in and nominated as part of our AGM last year. And as such, it's a very hidden role. It's a hidden space, but a really important one, keeping us structured well, making sure that we have good governance in place, that things like child safety and all of our legal requirements are ticked off and that we're aligning with best practice in that space. On top of leaning into some accountability for me in my role and making sure that we're staying true to what we feel like God's saying and where we're headed as a community. And so these are a really valued group of leaders in our community, forming part of our governance group. And then we have a number of ministry coordinators as well, who are probably a little bit more hands-on with the day-to-day things and activities of the church. And so there's some fresh faces in this space that we're going to get up for the first time this morning, and some familiar faces as well. Firstly, we have Pastor Liam, who is our youth and creative pastor, and that's a new title for him this year. And so again, as part of the AGM last year, we voted on an updated budget that afforded Liam an extra day this year. Very well deserved. He carries a lot and has carried a lot for a number of years. And so Liam is primarily in our Friday night youth space. Toowoomba Youth Festival is something that he's had his hands all over and been working on with a number of youth groups. A team represented in that space as well that he's leading and serving really faithfully on a Friday night. And what we're adding in this year is he's taking ownership of a number of different creative elements of the community, but more specifically worship. And working with the worship team, working with the production teams, and ensuring that we can come in and bring God a worthy offering every Sunday. And so, Liam, you can jump up. Thank you for your service. Along with him, Phoebe is jumping into a new role this year. We're called Hospitality Coordinator. And so Phoebe's going to be pretty much floating across a lot of different spaces. Our Connection Morning Tea, for example, the fact that Phoebe's catering is reason enough to RSVP. She is incredibly hospitable, incredibly welcoming, and is going to be working with a number of different teams and people on ensuring that we have a really healthy culture of welcome and that all of the conversation we have from the front about community and being found in community translates, not just through a microphone, but through the lived experience of everybody in the room. And so excited for Phoebe to jump into that space. You can jump up. Thank you. Louisa is continuing on in her discipleship coordinator role. So Louisa's got a real heart for Alpha, took a lot of ownership in that space last year, which we're so thankful for. And she's going to continue in that space. And I'm going to come alongside Louisa and be a little bit more hands-on in the discipleship space. We're going to work together on pathways towards connection, towards effective outreach, and really finding ourselves found in community. A lot of the discipleship curriculum stuff we're going to be working on together. And so Louisa, thank you for serving this year. You can jump up. Hopefully Kaya has finished kids check-in, but Kaya is our kids coordinator. She'll be sticking her head in at some point before we pray. We are so thankful. I know I shared this a lot last year. Yes, great. Thank you. I shared this a lot last year that we really had a heart in the bigger picture of Outlook Christian Church as a community last year to lean into kids church for the first time. And I can genuinely say without Kaya, it would not have happened. Genuinely. She has been phenomenal in that space and has really taken ownership and is really on the front foot with that. We're excited for another year of Kai being in that space, so you can jump up too. Thank you. Madeline, we have a fresh face in our young adult coordinator space this year. And so if you're around earlier last year, we said Thank you, honored Ethan, for the years of service that he's had in that space. We left things kind of open just to see how things would shape up over the rest of the year. And Maddie and I had a couple of different conversations. She expressed a real passion to be serving in the space and leading in our young adult community. And so we're really excited to welcome her up as well and stepping into to that young adult coordinator role for the first time this year. So thank you, Maddie. Now, there are another group of people that we're going to be getting up in this space. We're still in a blanket prayer. Thank you, Maddie. If you were here for Giving Sunday last year, one of the initiatives that we wanted to see some financial partnership be able to fund was a group of ministry interns. And so we've kind of journeyed over the course of the year. I remember our first board meeting, actually, last year. There was a real agreement and sense that there's something on us as a church community for young leaders and developing young leaders, being able to see people equipped to go and serve, which is literally Maddie's role, which is an amazing part of why she's here and that everything lined up. That's what she's doing at Queensland Baptist. She knows everyone up here and everyone stepping into this intern cohort space. We are thankfully, through financial partnership, have seen that fully funded, and so we're going to be able to use those funds to purchase resources and really just invest in a group of young leaders who really are the future of the church and present as well. So I'm going to invite Hope up as well. She is stepping into that space, which is amazing. First year out of school, has made a big decision on the back end of last year. She had a number of options before her, and after a lot of prayer and just journeying in community, really felt that this is something that God was leading her towards, which we're excited about. And Ellie, I have not seen you this morning, but I'm trusting, yes, great. Ellie is also jumping into that space, which is super encouraging. The story behind this is Ellie's been around the Outlook community, headed over to the US last year to go serve in a summer camp space. And she came back, and the first conversation she had with Liam was, I feel called to ministry. What can we do? And so we've gone on the journey over the back end of last year on what that might look like and how that might shape up. And so Ellie's jumping into this ministry intern space as well. We're going to have conversations about study and resourcing and how we can really just serve what she feels like God's got on her life, because we see it too. And so Ellie, you are welcome to join us up here. Thank you. Then both Maddie and Louisa are also part of this this ministry intern cohort space, both heading along to do some theological study this year, so pray for them. Bit of an adjustment in that space, but they're obviously serving already and represented in roles, and so as part of this cohort, we're just really excited, I think, for the year ahead and what the future looks like as we just continue to lean into what God's got for us as a community. And so if you would join me, I want to invite Maddie up to actually pray for this group, commission them to the leadership journey ahead for all of us this year, and like I said, next week, there are teams represented in behind every single one of these people and beside as well, and we're going to pray for those teams next week as part of Partnership Sunday. But thanks, Maddie.
If you guys want to gather in together, you're in this together. I know you've all got your own spaces, but you're all a group together, so gather on in. And church, however you feel comfortable honouring and praying for these guys, whether you want to reach out a hand or just lift them up to the Lord in your heart, let's just commission these guys together and everything the Lord has for them this year. Lord, I just thank you that you have been calling each one of these people to yourself, first and foremost as a child of yours, Lord, and I pray that before any ministry tasks they take upon themselves, before any leadership responsibility that they embark on, that would be the thing that rings in their ears every minute of every day, that they are a child that is loved by you, that because of your grace, Jesus, they don't need to strive, they don't need to earn the approval of man or your approval even, Lord, they are loved and they are held. And I pray that truth would settle so deep in their hearts as they go about the leadership that you have called them to this year. I pray that would lead them and that it would guide them. Would you bless them, Lord, with wisdom and patience and grace and love that is so clearly supernaturally given by you? Lord, I pray that you would rise in each one of them a capacity that they don't recognize as their own, because it's not, Lord. They know that you are the one who is gifting them and leading them and guiding them. I pray, Lord, that even though each one of them has their own areas of responsibility and gifting and passion, that Holy Spirit, you would make them one together as a team, Lord, that the sum of all these different parts when it comes together as a whole would be so much greater, that your kingdom would be glorified, that it would be grown, that it would be nurtured through the ways that these guys invest into the lives of those that they serve alongside and also those that they bless through that ministry. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful to see a church that has this beautiful depiction of what it means to be the body of Christ. There's young and there's older. There are people that are gifted in hospitality or love hanging out with teenagers, Lord. Those that care about the administrative and making sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, Lord. Each individual gift, each individual personality trait comes together, and that diversity builds and grows up the church. And so I thank you for the picture of what is here this morning in this leadership team. Would you bless them, Lord? Would you guide them? I pray that you would help them to be bold, that you would help them to be brave, to follow where you are calling them. I pray that this church would feel unbelievably loved and shepherded and supported by this leadership team. And I pray, Lord, that this leadership team as well would feel loved and supported and championed by their brothers and sisters in the faith here in this room. So Lord, we just commit them into your hands. We pray that you would continue to grow each one of them in the ways that only your Holy Spirit can. I want to pray a special blessing over Nick, Lord, as the lead pastor of this church. Father, I pray for him and for Jandia, for their family, Lord God. Would you just continue to lead and guide them as they take every single day steps of obedience to follow after you, Lord? Would you honor that? Would you continue to grow him in his leadership giftings, Lord? Continue to fill him with your Holy Spirit so that he can lead with integrity and with truth. Lord, we thank you for this church, this community of Outlook. I pray that they would continue to be an incredible light to this community. Lord, I pray that they would continue to serve and preach hope and truth to Toowoomba, a place that desperately needs your love and your grace. So we just commit this team into your hands. We pray for each one of them in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Right. Got the daintiest little pulpit in the entire world, but I think it's holding together, which is great. All right. It's really lovely to be back with you all again. My name is Maddie, if you didn't catch that a little bit earlier, and I get the absolute privilege of working as part of Queensland Baptist with a whole bunch of churches. We've got over 200 and almost 250 Baptist churches in Queensland. And so I get the great joy of being able to partner with a whole bunch of those different churches in this space of leadership. Because of course we want our leaders to be, you know, like biblically literate, right? We want the Word of God to be the center of the church and do things like go to Bible college to learn more about that truth. But I think that healthy leadership in a church involves more than that as well. It involves being able to love others well, to work in teams, to be self-aware, and to grow in all of those ways. And so I get the great privilege of working with those things in churches, doing lots of work with emerging leaders as well. We run a statewide project program called Project 11, where QB provides all the resources to local churches so that they can equip and grow and disciple emerging leaders on the ground, in their context, in their community. And then we gather them all up together a few times in a year to paint this beautiful picture of what it means to be part of the church, that we are part of something that's so much bigger than ourselves. And you here at Outlook, as beautiful as the family is that you have right here, is a part of something so much bigger than yourselves too, which is the kingdom of God. And so I love being able to come here. I kind of invited myself today. I have to admit to you guys, I know a lot of the interns, as Nick was saying, here today, and I really wanted to just be here to support them. So I emailed Nick and asked about the date, and here I am. Sorry about that. But it is a great joy for me to come and share on these things, because it's something I'm really passionate about. Having leaders that are filled with integrity, that are led by God. Because we know that there are a whole bunch of reasons, when I say the word leadership, that many of you in the room may want to like lean back a little bit. You might even want to switch off altogether. I'm going to acknowledge that. I'm really passionate about leadership and developing godly leaders, but you may not feel the same way. And you might think, okay, well, like we've prayed for the leaders and that's great, but if she's about to talk about leadership for this entire sermon, I just get a little bit of a nap this morning, because that's not me. That's not who I am. And if you're feeling that way, can I ask you to please just like bear with me for a little bit? And here's why. I know that there are certain people in our midst that are specifically called by God to lead, right? You've got pastors, you've got people that run ministries, you've got Christians that feel called to start businesses or you know, sit in management positions. They are gifted by God with leadership. But I very, very sincerely believe that leadership is an opportunity that pretty much any Christian can have, where they're in a position where they might be able to bless or even just positively influence the life of another individual or a group. If you think about it a little bit, like, we often talk about evangelism. We talk about people that have the gift of evangelism, right? Those people who just cannot help but talk about Jesus. You're out with your friends and one of them is over across the street saying that they want to pray for somebody or sharing the gospel and you're kind of trying to hide in the corner. They just cannot help but share. Those people are gifted and called evangelists, right? God has given them something, an ability that's beyond themselves to help spread the gospel. But even though there are certain people that have that gift of evangelism, that calling to be an evangelist, every single one of us is called to preach the gospel, right? None of us get a free pass. There are others that God might have anointed specifically for that task, but none of us gets get out of jail free card. We are all called to disciple the world, to reach the lost. And I think leadership is a little bit the same. I think there are people that are specifically called and anointed by God, called into positions or given a spiritual gift of leadership. But I think that we all often find ourselves with opportunities to be people of influence for the kingdom. That's how I like to think about leadership, being a person of influence for the kingdom. And even if you don't see yourself as a leader here today, you may find yourselves with opportunities to be just that, whether you speak into the lives of children, your own or other people's every single day, whether you have neighbors who like you and they listen to you. They will let you speak into their life. You might have co-workers who like your company, who value your opinion. Each of these day-to-day moments are opportunities for us to be Christians of influence in our world. And I believe that there's an element of leadership in that. So hang in with me today. If that is you and you're feeling really skeptical about leadership at the beginning, and we talk about this idea of what it means to go the distance in leadership, I hope that there might be something in this that will bless you. There are others of you, of course, we've just prayed for some of them right here, that do see yourself as a leader. You might have a position of leadership, or you might feel like that's something God's placed on your heart and your life, and you're kind of waiting for that to be a reality. But if that is you, I'm going to bet that you are not a stranger to the challenges that leadership can sometimes present. Right? There are a lot of reasons that even those who feel called may feel a little bit hesitant about leadership at times. Leadership, it means extra responsibility. There's not many ways around it. Sometimes it can mean extra work too. We love it when we can delegate, but sometimes it just means you're the first to arrive and the last to leave. And that can be hard. In lots of corners of the world, leadership doesn't hold the same honor that it may be used to. I don't think that that's necessarily a great thing. I think this is actually one of our Queensland Baptist churches that does honor of leadership maybe a little bit better, which I love. But sometimes being a leader does not mean you're going to get all this respect and reverence and awe. So often I think leadership can be undermined by ourselves, like our own insecurity and our own doubt just kind of plagues us. And so you're sitting with this opportunity of leadership, but daily you're trying to overcome this imposter syndrome. Like, if everyone else in this room really knew me and could see inside my brain, they would sack me in a second. And that can be exhausting. When we look around us in our world, we can see leaders that are falling left, right, and center. Inside the church and out. I think the trust in leadership in a societal sense is plummeting, and I think some of that is justified. And so the opportunity for us to be a leader can feel a little bit daunting in that context as well. And I also want to acknowledge the fact that sometimes leaders can cause harm. You might be sitting here in this room, and when I talk about leadership, you think about a person that caused you harm. And I want to acknowledge that that is very real. And if that is you, I am so sorry, because that is not God's heart for his leaders. But it's a reality that we have to deal with. And so as I talk about all these things and it's just looking like a real downer, you might be feeling a bit daunted and thinking, well, how can I lead well? If leadership is important, if it's this opportunity to influence others around me for the kingdom, how do I do that with integrity? How can I persevere? How can I go the distance and continue growing as a godly leader? I know I don't have it all figured out right now, but I want to learn. How can I make sure that I don't become one of those cautionary, fallen from grace tales of what it means to be a leader? And anyone with a call on their life to leadership in this room needs to answer those kinds of questions. We've got to answer them. Because there will come a time in our life where we are asking them for real, not hypothetical. There might be a crunch moment and we're answering those questions. And we've got to have answers, because if we don't, we might run the risk of walking away from the leadership that God has called us to altogether. And if we don't run away, I think we also run a risk of leading with this watered down sense of integrity, with a lack of passion or wisdom. And that too is not what God wants for us. We need to answer these questions so that when the going gets tough, we can stand firm, that we can go the distance and we can continue to become the leaders that God wants to empower us to be. And so to answer some of this question, we are going to be in 2 Timothy. If you have your Bibles and you want to read along, but it'll be on the screen as well. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. And this is Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy was a young emerging leader in the church, someone that Paul saw and identified and raised up. He took him on some of his missionary journeys as we read throughout Acts. But when Paul writes to Timothy in this moment, Timothy is leading in the church in Ephesus. He is a young leader in the church of Ephesus. And we will learn that things were not all rosy. This wasn't one of those like rose-colored glasses, smooth sailing seasons of ministry for Timothy, but it also wasn't for Paul either. And these are the words that Paul gives to Timothy in this moment where leadership was tough. This is a moment where Timothy would have been asking these questions about how do I go the distance? What do I do? And so Paul says to him, for this reason, which is the fact that Timothy has obviously been called and seen by God, you know, his mother and his grandmother brought him to the faith, Paul has invested in him, and he's in this position of leadership now. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. And that's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you've heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And so as we read through this passage and consider the context of these words, I mentioned that Paul and Timothy both had reasons that they might want to be running away from the leadership God's called them to at this moment in their life. As I said, Timothy was in a tough spot in the church in Ephesus. There was a lot of opposition going on in the form of false teaching. Timothy was trying to teach them about the gospel, the ways of Jesus and its truth. And there was all this division. There was all this false teaching coming up from within that church that was undermining his own teaching. Timothy was trying to bring correction and unity. And I can imagine that that was a really, really hard place to be in. Timothy was also really young by ancient standards, but also probably by today's, probably in early mid-30s is kind of where Timothy was at this point. And it seems like in the way that Paul is talking to him that Timothy had kind of let this timidity grab hold of him a little bit, that he knew that he was young, he knew that not everyone was kind of 100% behind him, and he was holding himself back a little bit. Paul, on the other hand, is literally in prison for his faith at this point. He's been leading and he's been following God obediently, and that's landed him in jail. At the end of this book, in chapter 4, he talks about how he thinks he's pretty sure he's close to death. He says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. Things are really, really grim for Paul at this moment in time. And in a culture where honor and shame were like really key values in the society, there were all of these people that had once been Paul's biggest fans and were now completely deserting him. They wanted nothing to do with him because he was in prison and you had to separate yourself from someone who had that kind of a reputation. And so in the midst of all of this, Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him in his specific circumstances and to hold tight to the call of leadership that God has placed on his life, to not give up, to keep on growing and becoming the leader that God is calling him to be. And what I love about this passage is that they are not in denial about the challenges of leadership. There is no sugarcoating going on in this exchange, but when I read it, it still seems so clear to me that Paul is completely confident that both he and Timothy have everything they need to persevere and to press on as leaders. All this challenge is weighing down on them, but there is not a lack. He is confident that they have everything that they need to persevere as godly leaders. And just like Timothy, I believe God gives us here today the things that we need to stand firm and to press on in our leadership. And even though it may be tough, even though we might be plagued some days with this fear of failure, God empowers those that he leads. And we get to rest in that. And I think we can see two things in this passage that God gifts those he calls to leadership. The first is the empowering Holy Spirit. In the face of this vicious opposition that we've just learnt about, apparently feeling really timid and really discouraged, Timothy is told in verse 7 to remember that the Holy Spirit gives him power and love and self-discipline. And later on in the passage in verse 14, he's told that the Spirit will help him guard the truth and the integrity of the gospel and the ministry that he has been called to. And when we think about these words, right, power and love and discipline, guarding, these to me all point to the truth that the Holy Spirit is absolutely key as a leader to having strength and like staying power, right? It's the thing that's going to help us stand firm. We know from Jesus' own teachings in the gospel that the Holy Spirit is sent to be our helper, to be our advocate. He's sent to teach us and to guide us. When I think about this, I kind of think about it like the Spirit is what roots us in God. When I think about the kind of roots that the Holy Spirit has that connects us and the Lord, I kind of think of trees like this one, right? These beautiful, I don't know if it's a Moreton Bay fig, I always think about Moreton Bay figs, but these huge trees where the roots, they are deep and they are huge and they spread wide. But you can also see a whole bunch of them, right? There's heaps of visible roots on that tree. And when we think about this, the Holy Spirit gives leaders this establishing power, right? It is something that's going to bring deep inner strength. When the storms of life come, it's that connection with the Lord as leaders that is going to stop us from falling over. It's going to stop us from making poor decisions. It's what's going to help us to stand firm. But there's also going to be visible signs in our life and our ministry and our work that the Holy Spirit is connecting us with our Lord. A deep love of others should be seen in the life of a leader who is being empowered by the Holy Spirit. I think that a leader that's empowered by the Holy Spirit, people should be able to feel safe in their presence. Like they'd be able to take refuge, you know, under the beautiful green leaves. So people should be able to feel safe in the presence of a godly leader. There'll be a visible strength. There's an incredible author and speaker and Christian by the name of Christine Kane, and she says this: if God created us to do good works of eternal significance, he would not create us ill-prepared for those tasks. And when I think about that, I immediately say yes and amen, because I believe God has created us to do good works of eternal significance. He has given those tasks to leaders, but as I say, he has given those opportunities to every single person who says they follow Jesus and call on his name. We are all given tasks that have eternal significance, and he does not leave us ill-prepared. He gives us gifts like the Holy Spirit to empower us, to fill us with love and strength and self-discipline so that we can grow and continue becoming the leader that God calls us to be. The other thing that I think we see in this passage, as well as the empowering of the Holy Spirit that helps us go the distance in leadership, is also the reality and the message of the gospel. I want to read verses 9 to 10 again. And I just want to invite you to like really listen to this, whatever that means for you. If you want to sit and close your eyes, if you want to read along in your Bible, whatever that means, I just want you to take a breath and really let these words wash over you now. Paul says, our Lord has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For any of us that seek to be leaders or even just a Christian of influence in our world, we cannot lose our reverence and our awe at the beauty of the message of our gospel, that God would call us, broken, sinful, lost us, into a holy life. That means a life that is set apart, a life that is given purpose and mission. A gospel that talks about grace, this undeserved gift of love and eternal life, immortality, life eternal. This is the gospel that is ours. Anyone who calls on the name of Jesus, this is the reality of our everyday and the rest of our eternity. And we cannot lose our awe. This is a priceless gift. This is the most wonderful hope we will ever behold. We have seen in many of us, our own lives, but also in the lives of others, the way the gospel can miraculously transform people's lives. This is so powerful. The gospel is what sets us apart as leaders from every other leader in the world, running a Fortune 500 company or a CEO of a huge business. The gospel is what sets us apart, and I believe that it makes all the difference. Makes all the difference for us as individuals, as leaders, but it will also make all the difference for every single person that we are leading if it is our guiding force and principle and motivation. If we are leaders who are firmly rooted in the gospel, then we are going to reap and also sow all kinds of blessings that set our leadership apart from the leadership of the world. It's going to mean that we use our influence not to serve our own agendas, but to see the kingdom of heaven come on earth and bring healing and hope and light. It means that we will lead through serving, through shepherding, just like Jesus did, not creating for ourselves a platform where we can feel really, really great about ourselves. It's not about us, it's about others. We will wake every single day with a purpose and a passion, because we know that one day Jesus is going to return and make all of the crummy things in this world right. But each day that we work and serve, we are helping build towards that beautiful, restored redemption and reality. We will be able to invite people to something as leaders that is filled with light and hope and purpose, not empty promises. It might not be a quick fix. It may take a little bit longer for people to come around, but the invitation that we have to people as godly leaders is something that will never perish, spoil, or fade for all eternity. And when the good news of Jesus, when his kingdom is the defining feature of our leadership, we will be able to partner with God, right? To see him change the world with eternal ramifications. If we want to lead and see the message and the effects of the gospel amplified, this is what we need to scream from the rooftops. And I believe that when we are constantly resting in the truth of that gospel, when we are constantly thinking about it, when we are placing every activity or event or task through that lens, we will be able to lead with integrity. There will still be challenges. We might not see all of the reward of that integrous leadership in this life, but others will certainly feel and see the difference of that pure kind of leadership, that kind of servant leadership. And I believe that when we go home to Jesus and we hear those words, we all pray to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, we will know that we led with the right motivation and with the right message. I want to just draw our attention towards the same call that Paul gives Timothy in this passage. At the very beginning, it's probably the most well-known bit of this entire passage, and I skimmed right over it until now, where he says, fan the flame. And I bring your attention to this small command that Paul gives Timothy to fan the flame of the gift that he has been given. Because in a passage that I believe is full of all the descriptions of the gifts that God gives to us as leaders, this is the call to action for the leader. This whole passage is full of things about the gifts God gives us, the way he empowers us, the things that he lavishes upon us. And there's this one little mention of, but here's what you need to do. And that's fan the flame. And I believe that ratio is right, right? So often we need to focus much more on what the Lord bestows upon us, the way he empowers us, the grace he gives us, and about ourselves and our efforts. But we can't ignore that it's in here. You need to fan the flame of the gift that God has given you. Our God is so good. And in any opportunity of leadership that we might find ourselves in, we get to welcome the power of the Holy Spirit. We get to rest in the truth of the gospel every day. But the fact of the matter is that we get to choose if we do those things. We get to choose if we are going to welcome those gifts and operate out of them, or if we are going to lead and live all in our own strength with no help from God or anybody else out of a message that will make us feel really good about ourselves and not give any glory to God. We have a choice in the matter. And that kind of does raise some theological questions for us, for those of you who like to nerd out about those things, right? Can a spiritual gift that's given by God, like leadership, can it die down like a fire and be rekindled by an act of our own will or action? You know, what control do we have as human beings over the sovereign work of God in our hearts? But when I look at Scripture as a whole, I think we see that the truth of the matter is that there's a partnership. In passages like 2 Timothy 1 here, in passages like 1 Corinthians 14 that talk about spiritual gifts, we can see that these gifts are bestowed upon a believer by God. But there is also an onus on every believer to steward those gifts, to regulate them, to use them responsibly, to use them for God's glory and for the blessing of other people. Because it's one thing for us to know what gorgeous things that God offers leaders to help them grow and remain steadfast. It's another thing entirely to be so moved by those offerings that we are spurred to action and obedience because of those gifts. And this passage reminds us that whenever we are called to lead or influence others, God will never leave us. He will never forsake us on that journey. He will empower us every step of the way. But we have the opportunity to either reject that partnership or to embrace it, to rest into it and to lean into it, to fan our hearts into flame, leading and serving and seeing the ways that God will honor that and empower that leadership. And my prayer, and I guess my challenge for especially those that we've prayed for today, but for every single one of you in this room, is that you will respond to this, that you will fan the flame of whatever opportunity or ministry or service or gift God has placed in your life, that you will continue growing and becoming the leaders and the Christians of influence that God might want you to be. And we're going to circle right back to acknowledging that that's not always going to be easy. Sometimes that means being really brave and saying yes to opportunities that might come your way, even when they fill you with dread. It might mean being bold and stepping into places that need loving leadership, maybe even if you haven't been asked. Maybe God is the one asking you and speaking to you. Sometimes it means leading when you are afraid. And often that might be because you are the youngest person in the room. My story has been one where I'm often the only woman in the room. Maybe you're the only person of a certain ethnicity in that room, but stepping up and leading and doing the thing afraid because God has asked you to be there. It means leading with integrity and doing the right thing, even when no one else is watching, even when doing the right thing is the hardest thing. It means, like we've read in this passage today, depending on the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us and turn us into safe and dependable leaders led by the Lord. It means being transformed ourselves daily by the message of the gospel, but preaching that message everywhere we go through every facet of our leadership. It means being vulnerable and welcoming friends and other leaders and mentors into our life who will be honest with us, and we can be honest with them about our failings, about our shortcomings. It means committing to growing in self-awareness and God-awareness, right? Developing those gifts that we've been given in partnership with Him. Some of you in this room will be entrusted with opportunities to lead in 2 minutes when we sing a song again, or tomorrow when you lead a ministry or you walk into your workplace. Some of you might be entrusted with opportunities to lead years down the track. I'm not sure, but my prayer for you is that when those chances come, you will not be afraid to say yes to the Lord, that you will know that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that the truth of the good news of Jesus is the ultimate bringer of purpose in any ministry or task that the Lord might place upon us. I really, really, truly believe that the need in our world is far too great, and our Lord is way too amazing, and the call on your life to follow Him is far too precious to waste any chance we have been given to bring glory to God and to serve others. And so when He might call you to lead, my simple encouragement is, do not sit on the sidelines. Even if you are terrified, say yes. Take the step and know that you do not do it in your own strength. You do not do it in your own power, but we do it with the empowering strength of our Lord. And so each one of us can fan the flame of those gifts, whether that's today, tomorrow, or years to come, and be empowered and led by our Creator and our Father. So I want to pray for each one of you, and I just invite you to respond to God however that looks for you right now. If you want to open your hands in your lap as a sort of symbol, physical symbol of your openness to the Lord. If you just want to sit with this in your heart, maybe you are still sitting here thinking, there is no way God would ever ask me to lead anything or anyone. Just sit with an openness to Him and consider what God might want to do through you. Heavenly Father, I just thank You so much for this truth that we read in Your Word, that You empower those that You call to lead. And Lord, leadership, it can be a scary task. It can be a hard task. It can be something that many of us want to run in the complete opposite direction from. But we know, Lord, that there are so many opportunities that You give Your people to step up and to lead, to be Christians of influence that point others towards You. And we read time and time again in Your Word that usually You call the person who looks the least qualified. You call the person who made the least sense to everyone else around them. But You did it because You saw their heart. You did it because You wanted to grow them. You did it because You are so surprising, Lord. And so I pray that for every single person in this room, whether they have opportunities and responsibilities of leadership in their life now or maybe to come, that there would just be this sense of comfort and assurance on their heart that You, Lord, are the one who empowers us to lead. You gift us the Holy Spirit that gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And Spirit, we need You to help us to be people of integrity, people of love. And Lord, you give us grace. You've given us this gospel that changes our lives, that has the power to change any life. It has the power to change our entire world. And Lord, we want that gospel to be the thing that guides us every single day. We want to be people that lay down our lives to serve others. We want to be people that believe in healing and hope and transformation, and that's what we seek to see through any leadership that we might take part in. We know that there's stuff that needs to get done, Lord. We know that tangibly there are people in this life that will look to us as leaders, but we just lay all that down and say we do not want to strive. We want to surrender to You. We want to obey You, and we want to trust You to fill us and guide us, to be leaders that can go the distance, leaders that do not fall and stumble, leaders that don't hurt others, create disillusionment, but leaders that unwavering unwaveringly point to Jesus. Lord, I just want to just quickly pray for anyone in this room that might be feeling really scared, but you are just saying something to them in this moment about what you want them to do with their life, the ways that you want them to serve. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill them with a boldness, with a deep sense of love and warmth, that when you call your children to something, you do not leave them, that you will equip them, that you will surround them and hold them. Any tiny seed that you place in our life, Lord, we just want to see it watered and grown into something beautiful. So we surrender to you and ask that as we lead, we are every single moment being led by you. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty and beautiful name.